You're listening to The Main Event on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Jake, Cody, and Jose.
You know football season is upon us when we get a chance to catch up with our next guest. So let's get right to it and head out to our Progressive Insurance Hotline. Of course, brought to you by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So we welcome on a 12-year NFL tight end with the Jets, Bucks, Rams, Cardinals, and Chiefs. He's now a ESPN college football analyst, and you can check him out on the Jets preseason as their color analyst with Ian Eagle calling the play-by-play. He is Anthony Beck, and he joins us now. Anthony, it's Jake Asman and Cody Stutes here in Houston. We really appreciate your time today.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Fantastic, Anthony. It's great to catch up with you once again. I want to start with this just because you, of course, had such a long career in the league as a tight end. Give us your thoughts on Tony G entering the Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago.
It was great. I mean, unbelievable. You know, I wish everybody's speeches weren't as long so that I was, you know, half awake when I saw, but I did do the art to catch the whole deal. And I mean, also deserving, you know, just great story about his childhood and what he went through and what were some of the things that drove him as an athlete, as a student, you know, just really some of the ups and downs, obviously, as a pro, the depression stage and, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, just the ups and downs of becoming a pro. So it's just an unbelievable job. And I think that letter he wrote to his kids that he read was just, it kind of hit home. It was really good. So job for him and his family and just another tight end of a long list that I think over the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years I'm going to be going in the Hall.
Anthony Beck, our guest here on the Main Event on SB Nation Radio. So speaking of tight ends, you know, Jason Witten coming back from the broadcast booth, he's going to go out there and try and give it a go this year with the Dallas Cowboys. As someone who played the position, just how difficult do you think it will be for him to return to football after the year off?
Very. I mean, I had that kind of space in between 11 and 12, that window. And, I went that full season and, you know, your body just breaks down. You know, he clearly wasn't training like he was as a football player in his time off. So, he may feel good. He may, his body, his joints probably feel good. But, you know, the wear and tear of the season, the shots and the play-to-play situations are really going to take its toll. And, you know, it may have taken him maybe Wednesday night, Thursday, where his body came back for the weekend. It may take him till Friday night, Saturday, to feel good on Sunday. So that'll be a process. Now, I know they've limited, quote-unquote, his snaps, but I'm not quite sure how well they'll stick to that. But at the same token, I mean, he's still going to be able to use some of his technique to get open. I mean, he's never really been an exceptionally quick or fast tight end. He just understands route running, understands body position and where to be. And, you know, that'll be good for Dak. You know, it'll be intermediate. It'll be 7 to 10 yard catches, but you know, he'll get him in the red zone. He'll find a way to get on the ball. And, you know, I think the blocking part of it, which will be probably take more of a toll on his body just because the constant banging every single play that he's going to take on his body. So I hope he makes it through the season. You know, good for him that he can play at this level at this age. It'd be phenomenal. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets through the entire year.
Anthony, with the way that colleges, you know, approach the tight ends and just the way offenses use them and just how that transitions to the pros, and you see a ton of just freak athletes playing the tight end position now. Does this feel like, you know, around the deepest and maybe most impressive the tight end position has been in the league in recent years? Like, obviously you had some top-end guys over the past little while, but it feels like you look at every team, and it feels like everyone's got just some sort of crazy athlete or really good tight end, and, you know, a guy that can do it all at the tight end position. Pretty healthy, the tight end position right now. Is it the healthiest it's been in a long time?
I believe it is. You know, I think that the league in general, and everybody talks about the hybrid, the basketball, athletic kind of guy, slimmer, bigger receiver, the league truly wants the complete tight end. And, you know, it's kind of a cyclical deal of getting those guys. You look at a guy like Gronk that can do everything at a very high level. But you're right, on the young side, you know, TJ Hockenson's probably a guy over the last couple of years that's come into the league, and he obviously has to prove himself and show what he's done. But as far as college coming out, he's about as complete as you get. And those are the kind of guys you want. I mean, Nick Boyle, the Ravens, you know, just got himself a new $16 million contract. he's probably the best blocking tight end in the league, but he still has the ability to run those intermediate routes at an effective level. It's a mismatch problem. You look at Tampa Bay, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, that's a problem for defenses. You know, safeties are too small, and linebackers who are a lot less in size these days because they're more hybrid guys are just not physical enough to take on the route running capabilities of covering an athletic tight end. So hopefully we never see that third tackle come in and play that second tight end, because that literally drives me crazy. I hate it. And Saints do it a lot because they don't have that guy, and they'll bring a guy in. It really tears away from what you can do offensively. I just feel like if you can have two tight ends, and now that the league is developing more and has more, that's the best way to keep a defense balanced and keep them away from their blitz packages that they want to use on certain trips and double situations when there's no tight end in the game. So now I also say this, there are a lot of tight ends coming out of college, but they're being cheated because the guys that are the receiver types are coming in the league and have no idea how to block, and really just they get annihilated, and it's just they can't find their way. And then you got the guys that can block that are, you know, aren't really well groomed in the running side, which isn't a lot, but a guy like Trayvon Wesco out of West Virginia is at the Jets. You know, he's just an incredible blocker, but he never had a tight end coach. So these guys don't, he's so raw. He's still a good blocker, but if he just did the technique, he'd be that much better. So they're just not being taught the techniques. And I'm talking fundamental. I mean, I'll work with some of the top tight ends over the years as they come out for the draft, and we'll literally start at square one with these guys, which should be fundamentally universal across all tight ends that play the game, and they're not. It's the first time they've ever done it. So to be able to be that good at their position through college and then come to the league and yet be so far away from what they can accomplish, it's amazing to me. So it's just always interesting to see that happy medium on how they develop throughout the NFL.
On the Progressive Insurance Hotline is 12-year NFL vet Anthony Beck, who, of course, now is with ESPN as a college football analyst. He's also the Jets' preseason color commentator. Got to ask you about the Jets, because obviously you see them up close. There's been a lot of hype surrounding Sam Darnold entering year two. He's played really well thus far in the preseason, and tomorrow night against the Saints should be another big test for him early on here. What have been your thoughts on Darnold and really the Jets as a whole as they try and turn a new page with Adam Gase, now the head coach?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, offensively, they're a better team. Sam is just an impressive young man. I mean, as for as young as he is, to be in that market and to be as mature and even keel as he is, and just really a super high IQ at the position. And, you know, he really hasn't played that position much, so he's just so much information he's able to soak in. But he's got all the traits that you want. I mean, you want a quarterback that, you know, clearly is a pocket passer, but has the ability to move around, be quick on his feet, you know, get away from some of the pass rush. I mean, you know, offensive lines are tough to get five competent linemen on any team in the NFL to protect you on a game-to-game basis. And he allows for that extra second, half of a second. And now, you know, you see him keeping his eyes even better downfield. He's able to get through his reads quicker, even though it's a new system he's learning. And I think Adam Gase is going to be perfect for him. I really think Adam's, you know, he's such a dialed-in coordinator, and you look at some of the good quarterback coaching combos in the league, they're all successful. You know, McVay and Goff, younger offensive-minded guys, younger guy that gets it, understands the game, and easily develops a relationship with the quarterback. And then you look at a guy like Nagy and Trubisky, you see the benefits that it's done there. So I see this very similar relationship between Gase and Darnold growing. And now you look at the toys, the Ty Montgomery, Le'Veon Bell. I mean, let's face it, guys. Forget that he's missed out the whole year last year. If he's that guy again, I mean, he is going to be – that is like ridiculous weapon you have in the backfield that will be the best in the league if he comes back and he's, you know, he's lighter, he's better shape than he was when he played for Pittsburgh. So there's a lot to be excited about. I think that, you know, like I said, on paper, they're better. Defensively, they got to get through a little injury bug and some guys and some depth at corner. But, you know, all in all, if they can stay healthy and the pieces are there, they're going to win more games than they did last year. And I think that's what we're looking for, at least they're looking for, moving into the season.
Anthony, we talked with you about the pros, but the college kids, you cover them too. Of course, you're an ESPN college football analyst as well. Everybody's thinking Bama and Clemson. And yes, that's been the thing for a couple of years. But nothing's ever as perfect and tidy as we all want it to be when college football gets here. So outside of Bama, Clemson, what are you paying attention to this season? What are you excited to watch?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great storylines. You know, clearly, you know, I think Alabama isn't the top tier anymore. I think Clemson has clearly pushed themselves away from the pack. Then there's Alabama, who is closer to the other top teams in the pack, which I think is interesting because, you know, this will be a new kind of deal for Clemson as far as just they've been there, but now you're like, you're considered the Bama of old. And you kind of control your destiny and your conference, obviously, from a strength top to bottom, you feel good about. So I'm excited to see Georgia. I think they've been close a couple years now of taking out Alabama and really taking over that spot. I'm interested to see how that works. You know, we got a lot of new faces at Ohio State and Penn State from a quarterback standpoint. How good will they turn around and be as good as they have been the last couple of years? And Michigan, to me, brings a lot back that, you know, can Harbaugh get over the hump and make and win those games? So that's kind of how you look at the Big Ten. Pac-12 is interesting as well. I mean, you know, they can't quite get there. But to me, when you get, you look at, you know, early on in the season, I don't look at polls. I look at what you got coming back. Oregon's got their entire offensive line back and arguably a top 10, top 5 draft pick last year at quarterback back as well as a senior. That speaks a lot. You know, but the receivers, I don't know who they are. They'll have some guys there. Mario Cristobal has some guys that he recruited. They'll be on the field. They'll be good. And their secondary might be one of the best secondaries in college football. So, again, can the Pac-12 get their mind right, get their thing in line so that one of those teams, instead of pillaging each other, can step up and be a force to be reckoned with? And, you know, Big 12, you know, again, always wide open. You know, Oklahoma clearly is the favorite, but, you know, is Jalen Hurts going to continue to do what he did? Much different style of offense that he was running at Alabama. And he'll run at Oklahoma. I mean, clearly he's going to have to do a little bit more with his arm, which, you know, that'll be interesting to see. I think he improved last year on the snaps that he took along with Tua, but I really want to see what he's made of. I mean, you know, clearly the best quarterbacks in the NFL coming out of college are going there and learning from that system. So can that work for Jalen? So those are kind of the big name schools. You know, if we got to go small, the group of five, you know, that nobody may talks about or knows, I think one sleeper big team, big name team, I think Mississippi State's a sleeper team. I think a lot of teams are talking about. I think Tommy Stevens, the guy from Penn State that came over, is going to run that offense pretty efficiently with Joe Moorhead. I think they're going to be sneaky going into the season. Who else do I like? And then a small school, App State to me might be the team that, you know, Satterfield left a lot in the cupboard for the new coaching staff, Drinkwitz, who was the OC at North Carolina State with Finley. And Finley did a great job at the quarterback position and doing a great job in the league now in the preseason. He's going to have, I mean, he's basically got every player back. And they can run the table in the Sun Belt. And they play, you know, we always look at how do they prove themselves. They play South Carolina and they play North Carolina. Now they're back-to-back. And, yeah, you know, that's a tall task. But think about it. If they can run the table on their games, and those two games, they're solid wins. I mean, that's an SEC and an ACC school. They could be a sleeper undefeated team that could potentially sneak in. Now, they're not in anybody's top 25, which they're right on the borderline, but they may be one of those under the radar, like UCF kind of did the last couple years, that they have a lot of players back that could sneak in and, you know, be in the conversation because of their schedule, and the teams that they play are aligned to help them get those credible wins.
He's Anthony Beck, 12 years in the NFL as a tight end with the Jets, Bucks, Rams, Cardinals, and Chiefs. You can now check him out doing the Jets preseason color commentating and check him out during the college football season calling games for ESPN. Anthony, we're huge fans of your work. Thanks so much for a couple minutes here, and we're glad football's back for sure.
No doubt. Anytime, guys. Enjoy the big game, right? Tomorrow at College Starts, you get at least something off your chest with Miami and Florida, so it should be good. And then, of course, wrapping up the preseason, man. Look forward to talking to you guys again.
No doubt. Thank you so much to Anthony Beck for joining us there on the Progressive Insurance Hotline. Of course, that is brought to you by Progressive, where you can quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com.